We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. This is a very happy day for me, celebrating a special event in my life. And, you know, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so we're very thankful for what God has done. We want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for the privilege of bringing the Word of God to you. We want to say thank you to Merit Assembly of God for the blessing that they have been to us and continue to be to us. We want to say thank you, first of all, to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical. Is there anybody out there that is thankful for air conditioning right now? I mean, goodness gracious. It has been warm here a little over a week or so ago. I was over in Winter Haven working on a project with some of the men from the church, and it was so hot. I realized that day that I'm not as young as I used to be. Came home, recuperated on Saturday, preached on Sunday, and then on Memorial Day I was back out in the heat again, and I am so thankful for air conditioning. If your AC is not working, or if you have an electrical issue, call Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical, 632-9538. And they will get that unit back up and running for you. They can handle mobile home units. They go throughout the entire county. And so we encourage you to call them. Don't be overcome by the heat. We also want to say bring a little bit of an information to you about Shiloh Adventure Camp. It's a summer camp program. It's going to be up in Volusia County this year. So that's not too far away. And if it's got swimming, canoeing, fishing, field games, hikes, worship, devotions, archery, man night, girls tea party, a whole bunch of stuff. It is for kids, boys and girls, 8 through 15 years of age. And the camps run June 7th through the 12th. They're Sunday night through Friday. And so there are 8 different weeks of camp. And so if you've got any questions, call them at 452-3943. You can also check them out at shilohadventure.com. That is www.shilohadventure.com. And tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. So, let's get back into the Word today, if we can, into the book of Acts, chapter 10. And we are going to try and pick up where we did yesterday. So I'm going to begin reading in verse number, or not yesterday, but last Friday. The next day, this is Acts 10, verse number 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done 3 times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Let's just go ahead and stop there for just the time being here today. We had talked about how Peter's number was three. You know, that God almost had to do everything for Peter in triplicate. Even the last chapter of John, you know, Jesus asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" So for some reason, Peter had this thing that it took three times for God to get his attention. I'll start there again today. How many times does God have to do something to get your attention? How many times do you have to go around the mountain? For the children of Israel, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and they said, "You know what? We think we're ready to go in now. We've seen people die for their own sins, and we would much rather go into the promised land and take God at his word rather than wander around this wilderness just going around the same sites over and over and over again." I don't know what my number is. I do know this, that several years ago, this goes back probably 10 to 11 years ago now, that my goodness, time flies, doesn't it? Don't blink. Whenever I run into parents with small children, I strike up a conversation with them, and I just tell them the same advice. It's like, don't blink. Don't blink, because when you blink, I mean, one day you're holding them in their arms, the next day they're off to battle, college graduates, getting married. It's amazing how fast time goes. Our daughter that graduated from college, I'm telling her, you know, right now the same thing, is like, you know, go out and don't just settle, because before you know it, time has passed you by. It's still hard for me to conceive that I've been at Merit Assembly of God for 22 and a half years. It really is. So what's your number? I was telling you the story. I was at the church, and God began to describe a situation to me, because I'd ask him a question. I'd said, "God, what's going on?" You know, to be specific, in that period of time, 40% of our congregation had relocated across the country. It had, and it wasn't people that were on the fringe of our church. They were board members. They were Sunday school teachers, boys ministries, girls ministries, young people. It was the core of our youth group. It was the core of our children's ministry. And within 12 months, 40% of the congregation was, boom, just gone. Not because of church problems. They just were relocated. And I said, "God, what is going on?" And he took me back and addressed a situation that had happened 10 years earlier. And he said, "Do you remember that situation?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." And he asked me, he said, "How many times do you want to go around this mountain?" And I want you to know my answer was, "God, one time around this mountain is enough for me." I encourage you that if you're going through a circumstance right now, don't waste the opportunity complaining about it, moaning and groaning and grumbling like the children of Israel did. But lift your eyes above the problem, magnify the Lord, recognize that he is the one who orders your steps and directs your path. He's the one that will hold your hand. He was the one that will guide you, will speak to you, will walk with you through that journey. And so I encourage you not to have to make the same mistake over and over and over and over again. Peter has this dream. I happen to like this dream because it's about food. I like food. I did a message one time, and it was talking about the dreams that we have, and I titled that message, "Was That God or Was That the Pizza?" You know, and I've had some dreams that I just knew were God-given dreams. They had significance. And there were some dreams that were so weird that I knew that those those were, you know, whatever I ate the night before. Chances are for me it wasn't pizza. It was probably Mexican food. But, you know, Peter's having this dream, and it has to do with food. And the message keeps coming to Peter: what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, the next step, it says here in verse number 17, it says, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there." I encourage you to spend some time with the presence of God, spend time in the Spirit of the Lord, spend time in the Word, and find out what God is trying to tell you. What is it you are wanting to say? Now, God is a master communicator. He really is. He's a tremendous communicator. The problem with communication with God is never with God. The problem is with us. Remember, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And so on many occasions, it can be like trying to teach calculus to a kindergartner when they haven't learned 1 + 1 = 2 yet. It can be a challenge. Now, I'm thankful that God, because He is such a good communicator, He is able to reach us with His message on our level. Now, the thing about that is, He never intends for us to stay at that level. He wants to call us up higher. Just because you've mastered 1 + 1 = 2 doesn't mean that you're supposed to stay on that level. You and I are supposed to mature in our walk with God. But he is able to reach us at that level. I like to put it this way. He loves us where we are, but He loves us too much to leave us there. If today you are listening to this program, and what you need to hear at your level is that Jesus loves you, He died on the cross to save you, to forgive you of your sins, and empower you to live a holy and righteous life, praise God for that. Praise God, because everybody begins there. There is no exclusion. An old quote, have no idea who said it, was God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. Did you know, I'll just bring a little bit of a history lesson. Did you know that in the original colonies, when they came over to America, that in order to vote, you had to be a church member? You had to be a member of the church in order to be able to vote. So the next time that somebody tells you that America was not founded on Judeo-Christian principles, that it was not founded upon God, go back and double-check me. You go back to the original sources. Just don't go back and believe what somebody's telling you. Go back and look. In order to be a voting constituent in many of the colonies, you had to be a church member. And then what happened was people began to deteriorate in their relationship with God, and so they amended that to where the children of church members could vote. And then they deteriorated even further, and it became the grandchildren of church members could vote. And you know, then we had the Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. And God, through the history of America, has continued to pour out revival over and over and over again. But God has no grandchildren. My children will stand before God on their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have the most famous mama and the most famous daddy in the world, but that's not going to do anything for you when you stand before God. You can be rich beyond measure. You can be the smartest person on the planet. You can be a sports celebrity or an entertainment celebrity, and none of that impresses God. In fact, the scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is only when we take the gift of faith that God has given to us and put that in Jesus Christ that our relationship with God begins to take on newness of life. And so I said all that to say this. Whenever God is speaking to you, I encourage you to think about it. Ponder it. Hide those things in your heart. One of the things that I do is whenever God speaks something to me, because I don't want to be a heretic. I want to be sound in word, sound in lifestyle. And so whenever God speaks something to me that I have not heard before or don't remember having heard before, then I will oftentimes go to commentaries and begin to study and see. And then I take it one step further and I begin to have discussions with other people who I know have a relationship with God and that are sound in doctrine. And I begin to have discussions with them and say, okay, I want to run this by you because this is what I sense going on in my spirit, but I want to make sure that I'm not getting off on a tangent and I'm not going to lead anybody else astray. I never want to hear God say, you led someone into stumbling in their faith. I read an article here several weeks ago about a person who had been just radically active for the kingdom of God, but something had happened in the course of time when they had interacted with one person and another person, and they were no longer majoring on the word of God. It was no longer the focal point of their life, but instead they were off into some very, very unusual topics of discussion, shall we say. And so I encourage you, take time and say, God, what is it? I know that there's not a problem with your communicating, but there's a problem with my reception. I need to understand what it is you are trying to tell me. Now, I was a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor on multiple occasions. Was never a children's pastor, but on Wednesday nights, I help out with the children's ministries by bringing the Bible story lesson. And this is one of those things. 2015 has been a year where I have come to realize that I'm not as young as I used to be. When I turned 40 years old, which was quite some time back, my wife compiled a bunch of scriptures detailing about people who were old. And, you know, Sarah said her master was very old. Or, you know, I don't remember a lot of them. I do remember one of them specifically, and it was Joshua chapter 13, verse number 1, I believe it was, and it says, and when Joshua was old and well advanced in years, that God said unto Joshua, you are old and well advanced in years. And I said, that's the verse I'm clinging to. Until God tells me I'm old, I'm going to continue to believe that I am young. This year, 2015, has brought to me some understanding that I may not be as young as my mind thinks I am. So we continue to ponder those things, think about them, discuss them. You know, when God speaks to us, I believe that He is wanting to have fellowship with us. I don't believe that it is just, you know, like the old television shows where the dispatcher is on the radio and he's or she's communicating with police officers in the field or with firefighters on their way to a fire. Hey, there's a fire at such and such address. Go now. I don't believe that that is the form of communication that God wants to have with us. I believe that He wants to have communion with us. We're going to be celebrating communion this coming Sunday morning. We're coming up on the church on Merit Assembly of God's 63rd anniversary. That'll not be this Sunday, but it will be this Sunday. It will be this Sunday that we will be celebrating that 63rd anniversary. And I will have been privileged to, at that time, been pastor for 22 and a half of those years, a little over 22 and a half of those years. So we're very thankful for what God has done, but we're continuing to press on. And so we're going to be celebrating that communion. And it's the same thing. I don't believe that communication between a husband and wife on of a morning should be with the two of them sitting there, both of them reading the paper. Do you want coffee? Yes. You want cream? Yes. You want sugar? Yes. You know, can you take the trash out? No. Actually, I'm just kidding about that. Instead of just a, okay, this is a need that I've got, and what would happen if we fell in love with talking and communing with Jesus and say, you know, that's a very interesting thing. Do you know that there are things that were written hundreds of years ago by poets and authors that people are still discussing now, and they're coming together and say, what was the author talking about? What was his meanings? I have a commentary in my office on the Gospel of John, and it quotes a person in that commentary that says, the Gospel of John is like a pool of water so shallow that an infant could swim in it, or an infant could stand in it, and so deep that an elephant could swim in it. So shallow that an infant could stand in it, and so deep that an elephant could swim in it. And what that means is that there's levels of communication, and we need to enjoy, and you know, I love digging into the Word of God and finding the truth that God has for me. When God speaks, He's got something to say, and we need to understand. And I will tell you, I try not to be one of those people that it takes, you know, multiple or dozens of times for me to get. But I have noticed that through the years that God would tell me, okay, you've seen the superficial understanding, but there's something else there. And I will just give you one example of that. And that is that, I'll give you a couple examples. But there is the study of the person of Judah. And I've done a study on Judah. And Judah means praise. The birth of that child transformed Leah's life. And Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I understood the praise aspect. And so I got to a level where I was very comfortable talking about Judah. And God, one day I was reading the book of Numbers, believe it or not, Numbers chapter 2 and Numbers chapter 10, and I saw where people went out under the banner of Judah, and they camped under the banner of Judah. And Judah was the first banner to go out. And I was like, I got this. And God said, you've missed something. And then I began to try and recite and, you know, all of my impressive knowledge about Judah and all of that. And God said, you've missed it. And you know, so I went and I looked, and what I missed was that Judah was the tribe of authority. Judah was not only meant praise, but Judah was commissioned by God to be the tribe of authority. And when Jesus came as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, it was not just because he came as the son of David, not just because David was of the tribe of Judah, not just because he was a worshiper, but because Jesus is authority. And so I was like, whoa, there's something more to that than what I had seen before. Praise God for that. There was another situation. God laid 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 on our heart before we even came to Merit Assembly of God as the pastors. And so when we received the call to come, we responded with a yes. And then after a year and a half or so, I was like, okay, God, we're not seeing the manifestation that we thought we would see with the word that you gave us. And he said, you need to go and look at it again. And I saw in there that there was a little contingency in that word. And it's a topic that doesn't really come up too much in modern Christianity. And that is after you have suffered a little while. That was what God had spoken through Peter to the churches. There may be a season of suffering in your Christian walk, but it will only be a season. And so sometimes it will help us to go back and say, okay, God, help me to understand what you were meaning for me to understand. And then while Peter is thinking about this to himself, the men are standing at the door. And they are asking for Simon. They're asking for him by his name, Simon Peter. And Peter's upstairs wondering what God is communicating to him. And meanwhile, there are people at the door on the lower level, and they're looking for Peter. Now, the thing is, this is great because Peter wasn't even at his own house. He was at somebody else's house in somebody else's town. And I want you to know that God can provide divine connections for you, divine appointments for you that are going to advance the kingdom of God. And so it just because you might be away from home does not necessarily mean that God's not getting ready to use you where you are at. You could be on vacation and God could use you to be a blessing to someone. Several months ago, I received a phone call. I was in my office. Somebody was driving down Interstate 95, and they were listening to the afternoon rebroadcast of Refresh. And they said, whenever we're driving through, we listen to Christian radio, and if we hear somebody, we call. And I happened to be in the office a little bit late that day, and we had a conversation. Come to find out, even though my wife doesn't remember this guy or his wife, they had attended Bible college together in a different state. We didn't know them. They didn't know us. But as they were driving down the road, I was able to pray for them that God would use them. They're an evangelist. And I was able to pray for them that God would use them and bless them. And so it was just kind of an interesting divine connection there. It really amazes my wife. Wherever we go, a lot of times I will see people that I know or that I know of, and I'll just go up and strike a conversation with them. Reinhard Bonnke, one day we were standing in line at Medieval Times, and I looked up and I see Reinhard Bonnke about 15 people in front of us, and I said, hold on, I'll be right back. And so I just went up and introduced myself to him. What's he going to do? He's an ambassador for Jesus Christ, a minister of the gospel. Say, no, I'm not him. But we had some fellowship right there in lines at Medieval Times. God has divine appointments for you. Let me pray for your appointments today. God, I pray that you would speak to your children here in Brevard County today. And Lord, you would order our steps, that you would provide divine appointments for us, that the kingdom of God would be advanced, that people would be edified, there would be healing, there would be growth and maturity in Jesus' name. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it